And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is grassroots movements exerting influence. Each of my guests is explaining how an ordinary grassroots event can exert great influence. My next guest is a correspondent for The Economist, in my opinion, the world's greatest magazine. We'll learn the factors of success and failure from one of history's most grassroots leaders who conquered an empire, contained in his book titled Hannibal and Me. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Andreas Kluth has been writing for The Economist since 1997. He is currently the magazine's U.S. West Coast correspondent, covering politics, society, and the economy in California and the Western United States. Andreas is a graduate of Williams College and the London School of Economics. He holds dual citizenship for the United States and Germany. Hannibal and Me is Andreas' first book. He lives in Los Angeles with his family and joining us from Los Angeles. Hi, Andreas. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being a guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. I think it's interesting that you chose Hannibal to be sort of the focal point of your book. Most of us have a vague recollection of Hannibal from our childhood schooling. Mainly our memories are that he took some elephants across the Alps. But in fact, Hannibal was one of the most successful generals of his day. So tell us a little bit about the drama, the boldness of Hannibal's invasion of the Roman Empire, because I think it sets the stage for the rest of the book.
Absolutely. And just so we can preempt that, I mean, the whole point of the book is that you, Billy the Brain, I, Andreas, and each and every one of your readers sees him or herself in the story of Hannibal and his Roman enemies, Fabius and Scipio. That's the point, that I'm explicitly inviting people to read your own life into this incredible story, this timeless story, which really was one of the most famous stories for about 2,000 years, but as you said, in America, in the past generation or so, we've kind of lost that one, which is interesting itself because we've become fascinated with Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar, whereas these three, so those two and Hannibal, were really the three greats of ancient history for 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Hannibal is more interesting than the other two. If I'm a history buff, I love all of them, you understand. But Hannibal is more interesting to us today. To us today and to us in America, because he lived this long, full life into old age, whereas Alexander the Great was successful and then died. The clock saved him. He died at an age when Hannibal was just becoming successful and stayed successful much longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so Hannibal offers a lot more lessons and a lot more mysteries and sort of paradoxes to us, just because we have a whole long life. And just to... You invited me to just briefly say what's the big deal about Hannibal, and he lived 2,200 years ago. At that time, Rome was up and coming; it was not yet a superpower, and the superpower, if there was one at all, was Carthage. And Hannibal was a general for Carthage and decided to attack in Rome, and he did this with this incredibly bold, unheard of, crazy sounding plan that he took, as you mentioned, an army, including African cavalry and so forth, but elephants over the Alps in winter, which no one thought was possible, and suddenly he was there in Italy, and then he kept winning, defeating the Romans, slaughtering, and he became this personification of Hercules, the hero, and of success, and he was considered invincible, and he stayed invincible for 16 years. But the reason why I became so fascinated with him was that, and why I think he's so modern in a way, is because he was the guy, Bill. He was the original guy who won the battle but lost the war. Because if you look around at, let's say, you know, our capital in Washington or U.S. post offices, they're all Roman-looking buildings, right? They're not Carthaginian-looking. So if he was invincible, if he was so successful, then how come the Romans, after Hannibal died, you know, erased Carthage, completely erased it in a Holocaust. So he won the battles, he lost the war, and I think there's a whole bunch of lessons for us to not let that happen to us, but the more interesting lessons almost that are for us nowadays, you know, foreclosures and unemployment is the other side of this, and this is even less known than the story of Hannibal, is the Romans, what happened to the Romans, they just had one defeat and disaster after another, and somehow they lost the battles and won the war. And that's really where, for a lot of us today, I think the mystery, or the lessons start applying to us.
My guest is Andreas Kluth. We're talking about his latest book, Hannibal and Me, What the World's Greatest Strategist Can Teach Us About Success and Failure. So, Andreas, tell us, though, to close the story on Hannibal, tell us how he ended up ending his life, because that, his life mirrors what happened to Carthage in terms of its demise and everything else. So what ended up happening to Hannibal? How did he end his last days?
So after this long reign of invincibility, when he was in Italy, always undefeated, he met his match in a young Roman named Scipio. And I also want readers and you, Bill, to see yourself in Scipio. And he eventually defeated Hannibal. And Hannibal then entered a midlife crisis, which is also very relevant to a lot of us today. And then he had a whole second sort of wind in his late life, but he ran out of steam, and the Romans never stopped looking for him. And when he was in his 60s, when Hannibal was in his 60s, so when we're retiring nowadays, and when he was, and at that time that was an old age, you know,
right?
And he was in what is today Turkey, and that was part of the Greek world, and he was now employed by other kings, not even Carthage, but to keep fighting Rome, and the Romans were about to catch up with him when he was sort of hiding out in at some court of a king, and he had built himself 7 tunnels to get out in events, but the Romans were closing in, and he decided, I'm not doing this. I'm going out the sort of the samurai way, and he took his own life. He swallowed poison, and so he committed suicide. And then another generation after that, that's when the Romans then sailed over to Carthage, which was completely submissive and peaceful, and they committed genocide there.
Right. They raised it and salted the earth, as the expression goes. My guest is Andreas Kluth. So, Andreas, what I liked about your book is that it takes into account this whole life cycle as you view success and failure. I mean, if you think about it, we view success and failure quite differently in our youth, in our young adulthood, our middle age, and in our old age. So what seems important in one stage of life may be actually quite meaningless in another stage of life. And the classic example, the one that everybody uses, is the man on his deathbed rarely sits up and says, boy, I should have spent more time at the office. That rarely
right.
happens. So besides Hannibal himself, nowhere is this more evident than in the two Roman generals, Fabius and Scipio, that you talk about. So tell us how these two antagonists of Hannibal really figure into your theory.
Well, there's two things. One, there's this life cycle. That's the structure of the book. We follow a bunch of characters, and I should say that I weave in the stories of Eleanor Roosevelt, Albert Einstein, Pablo Picasso, Meriwether Lewis of Lewis and Clark, and all these Harry Truman, these other characters, so that we make it more explicit how we can see ourselves in these stories. But this one thread is I organize the book in terms of, the time of one's life. Because as you said, when you're young, when you're an adolescent, you get your definition of success and failure from your parents, basically. Then in your 20s, probably, you try to find a dream of some sort. And then it's about tactics and strategy. Can you get there? Can you make that dream come true? And then, but at some point, you're going to hit midlife, and then you have to, basically everyone who successfully completes the midlife crisis redefines success and failure in some way, and then you get old age, where you essentially almost try to transcend those things. But so these definitions of success and failure change, and we have to change our strategy in life along with that. But the two Romans you mentioned, which are really my other two main characters, Fabius and Scipio, they come in the following way. And again, I find them very modern and very timely. Number one, Hannibal killed 1/4 of all Romans. And that's such a staggering number that I just want you to, in your readers, your listeners, in your minds, just calculate 1/4 of American men, what kind of Vietnam memorial that would be. So
Wow. That
was a disaster. They expected extinction. And they were depressed and angry and all these things. However, there was this one Roman senator named Fabius, and he briefly became dictator. He somehow went one step further and just accepted this. The way if you're diagnosed with cancer, or if you lose your job or your wife or something, at some point you have to accept this disaster. And that makes you psychologically ready for the next step, which is essentially first to do nothing, to flow with it. In the case of Fabius, he decided literally not to fight Hannibal at all for many, many years, which was unthinkable in the Roman psyche. And then at some point, this other Roman character comes in, and that's the I use Steve Jobs as my example for that, and also Eleanor Roosevelt. At some point, there's nothing left to lose, and you become ready. I think you had a guest before me talking about a reinvention. You become ready for reinvention. You feel the disaster as a sort of freedom, as a liberty. What else? You know, anything that seemed too crazy before, now you're ready for it. And that's what Scipio, the Roman, did. He did something completely different, and that's what, in the end, vanquished Hannibal. And so that, again, is like, I think there's lessons in that psychological journey of these two Roman characters we can apply to ourselves, and they're very like Steve Jobs and Eleanor Roosevelt's journey in some ways, is that something bad does eventually happen in almost every life. First, you've got to accept it. Then you've got to flow with it. And at some point, you become free. It frees you. Now you're ready, if you're psychologically equipped, to really succeed more than you ever dreamed before the disaster happened.
My guest is Andreas Kluth. He's the author of the book, Hannibal and Me, What History's Greatest Military Strategist Can Teach Us About Success and Failure. And Andreas, I like the way that you weave in Steve Jobs, Eleanor Roosevelt. They exemplify one type of personality. You also mention a whole cast of characters, other people whose names we're going to recognize. But I want you to specifically talk about Pablo Picasso and Albert Einstein, because they sort of represent the antithesis of Steve Jobs and Eleanor Roosevelt. How so? What is it about those two men's lives, Picasso and Einstein, that exemplify an entirely different aspect of Hannibal?
Well, let's start with Albert Einstein, who is actually, in one chapter, I compare him to Hannibal in his sort of invincible years, if you will. Because Albert Einstein, at the same age, became famous with E equals MC squared and light quanta and special relativity and these things. That was in 1905. He was about the same age as Hannibal when Hannibal crossed the Alps and started winning. So there was this huge success. And then, of course, Einstein expanded that to general relativity. That took about 16 years or so again. And then something happened to these two characters that happens to a lot of successful people. If you look around in the news right this week, politicians, businessmen, you name it, is they enter this kind of plateau of success, and it becomes a prison of them, paradoxically. And this happens especially to a lot of Nobel Prize winners. And I mentioned that there's something strange that happens to the imagination of creative people and geniuses, that when they become successful, and I try to analyze it, and as I always try to analyze it by looking at actual lives. And so Albert Einstein very much got, he stayed famous, with his wild hair, and we love him. We loved him all through the end. We still love him. And he was a wonderful human being. However, in the task he set himself, he failed in that whole second half of his career, because he got trapped. His imagination essentially entered this prison. And the things he had invented, like quantum physics, that may mean something to a lot of you, there was a sort of whole new generation, a revolution that he had spawned, and he resisted that because, as I said, his imagination, something had changed in him. And success does that to people. So if you happen to find yourself successful, there are some real dangers in that. Now, in the case of Pablo Picasso, he's interesting because of his life arc. I actually contrast that with Paul Cézanne, who's another painter, but also I compare it with Meriwether Lewis of Lewis and Clark, and to some extent Hannibal, because what happened to Picasso, he was the classic type who peaks early. He had this genius vision that I think only people in their 20s have. There's a certain kind of success that only happens in early in life, because you don't know enough yet about the complexities of everything to doubt yourself. And so in the case of Picasso, that was a revolutionary painting, Les Demoiselles d'Avignon, and he became very famous for that early on in his 20s. And in the case of Hannibal, he crossed the Alps. In the case of Meriwether Lewis, he and Clark crossed the continent. And so they became heroes. And then that presents a danger for these people, which is different from, let's say, what we talked about in the case of Einstein, that's later in life. For these people, what do you do next? You're in your 20s or 30s. By the way, athletes, think of Tiger Woods and some people. It happens to young athletes often because they're young. How do you follow that up? And often they crash and burn disastrously. In the case of Picasso, he didn't crash and burn disastrously, but he did peak early, whereas someone like Paul Cézanne sort of gradually got better throughout his life And then, essentially, as an old man, that's what we know him for.
That's when he did his absolute best work. Excellent. My guest is Andreas Kluth, author of the book Hannibal and Me, What History's Greatest Military Strategist Can Teach Us About Success and Failure. Andreas, what do you want people to take away from reading your book, Hannibal and Me?
I want each reader to take away something different, because I try very hard. This is not a sort of top 10 list or a self-help book. I try to be sophisticated and not corny about this. And first of all, we're just going to have a great fun with one of the most exciting adventure tales of history. I mean, there's this advantage that it's all true. But the other thing is, we do hopefully all see ourselves in that. And depending on where you are in your life, so if you're in your 20s and reading this, you're going to be interested in some things. And if you're in your 60s, you're going to be interested in different things. And if you've just been diagnosed with cancer or lost your house to foreclosure, you're going to be more interested in Scipio and Fabius. And if you're at the top of your game, you're going to be more interested in Fabius, if you see what I mean, and maybe
right.
Einstein. So, but the main thing is never confuse tactics with strategy. And that is about, and we confuse that all the time, especially if we're talented. Because if we're talented, we're good at winning. Hannibal was great at winning. And we study how he did his winning. So there are some lessons about how to win. But the point is, winning is just the battles, the tactics. And you can, if you choose, or if you get drawn into the wrong battles, even if you win them, you can end up in a disaster. So figure out what means will take you to the end you want to achieve. And that sort of dance around strategy and tactics, I would say that's the main thing. What, you know, this kind of active and deep thinking that we should do at all stages of our lives about what we really want in our lives, and then how do we get there? How do we not get sidetracked? And then if something awful happens, well, how can we use even that to get to the goal?
That is great. My guest has been Andreas Kluth, author of the book Hannibal and Me, What History's Greatest Military Strategist Can Teach Us About Success and Failure. Andreas, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Billy the Brain.